Matthew chapter 9, and I usually look at a particular verse and try to come up with a title for the message. But if I would do that, I would probably bring the title from what is said in verse 28. The Lord said to those two blind men, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" Do you believe the Lord is able to save His people from their sin? Yes, Lord. I love the answer there. They didn't think, well, you know, it's a possibility. The Lord said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" Yes, Lord. That's the answer of saving faith. Yes, Lord. He is the Almighty Savior. So that would make a good title, wouldn't it? Believe ye that I'm able, and I may use that when I post it on sermon audio. But I'm calling this message, "The Blind See and the Dumb Speak." I'm both blind and dumb by nature, and so are you. The blind who have eyes to see, what do they see? What did these two men see? The Lord Jesus Christ. What do they see that have eyes of faith? They see Christ. Those who are dumb with no understanding when He gives us a revelation of Himself, what do they speak? They speak the Lord Jesus Christ is all and in all. They speak of Christ. They speak of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you read through the Gospels, you see so many miracles the Lord performed. He healed those who had need of healing. And there was a great need in that day, and certainly this day is no different. But all the miracles the Lord performed show us and demonstrate to us that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah. Notice they addressed Him the same way blind Bartimaeus addressed Him. "Thou son of David." Now that's saying something. Because the promised Messiah was to be from the tribe of Judah, the house of Jesse, and the son of David. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the greater David. That's what I call Him. But all the miracles the Lord performed show and demonstrate to us that Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus Christ is indeed the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David, Son of God, Son of Man, to accomplish all our salvation. And that's why He came. He didn't come to make salvation a possibility. We talked about that in the Bible study this morning. He came to actually accomplish all our salvation. We read in Galatians chapter 4. Don't turn. Let me read it to you. I've got it written down here. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4, verse 4 and following, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "He's my Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is that promised Son of David. You remember how we started? Look back at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. When they're saying that thou art the Son of David, they're saying that you are the fulfillment of the promised Messiah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Remember how we started back in February? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas. Judah, tribe of Judah, and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Abinadab, Abinadab begat Nahshon, Nahshon begat Salmon, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Rahab was the harlot. We've been studying the book of Ruth about Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, Rahab the harlot. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. That's what the book of Ruth is all about. And Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David, the king, and the king, and David the king begat Solomon of Uriah. Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. So, all the genealogy, if you look back at the genealogy, the human line, when it talks about a body hast thou prepared me, that came from the tribe of Judah. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is he not? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, if you'll turn to Matthew 11, turn one page to Matthew 11. And the miracles he did proclaim him to be the Messiah. It was never so seen in Israel. Remember we read? But look at Matthew 11, verse 2. And when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And the Lord answered and said unto them, you go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Saving faith is not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these miracles proclaim him to be the Son of David, the promised Messiah, Son of God. Now, by raising the dead, as we saw last time, when that little 12-year-old daughter of that ruler of the synagogue, when his little daughter died and the Lord went to that house and raised her up from the dead, by raising the dead, he shows himself to be the same God that breathed life into the lump of clay back in the beginning, and man became a living soul. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Let me read it to you in Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A living soul. So by raising the dead, he shows himself that he is God who gives life. By giving sight to the blind, he shows himself to be the same one that created all things by the word of his power. When he said, let there be light, and light was. God created all things out of nothing by the word of his power. We don't create anything. We just kind of move things around. God spoke all things into existence by the word of his power. So when he gives sight to the blind, he does so because he's the one that causes the light to shine. And he shines in our darkened heart. By casting out diseases and demon spirits, he shows himself to be the seed of woman that would crush Satan's dominion and power. Remember from the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman's seed, between thy seed and her seed, and Christ shall bruise thy head, speaking of Satan's dominion and power, and thou shalt bruise his heel, his humanity. I love this psalm, Psalm 3. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and has broken out the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed the dominion of death and the dominion of the devil. I'm going to read this scripture to you. This is found in Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, through sin being introduced, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So he destroyed him that is Satan's dominion and power. And in doing that, Christ crucified, He delivered them. He is our deliverer. He is our redeemer. That's what a redeemer does. He redeems from all our sin, who were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, the first miracle we'll look at here is found in verse 27 down through verse 31. Let's read these verses together again to refresh our mind. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this? Have mercy? Have mercy?" And they said unto him, "Absolutely, yes, you're the Lord. You are the Lord." Then he touched their eyes. You remember in John chapter 9, you ever heard that saying, "Here's mud in your eye"? I wonder if it comes from John chapter 9, where there was a blind man and he came to the Lord, and the Lord just spit in the ground and took up, made some clay and stuck it on his eye. "Here's mud in your eye." And the Lord healed him. I wonder if that's where that saying comes from. But the Lord healed him. "Yes, Lord. Yes, we believe." Then he touched their eyes. He didn't make a mud pie this time. He just touched their eyes. Sometimes he just spoke a word. But he's the means by which miracles come. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. And straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man knows it." But when they were departed and spread, when they departed and spread abroad his fame in all the country. It was a deed that really didn't need to be told. These men were known to be blind men groping in the dark, and here now they're seeing for the first time. Here we see the Lord showing mercy. Again, I remind you, this is what the Lord does for us when He saves us by His grace. He gives us spiritual sight to see Him and our need of Him, and He gives us faith to look to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. These two blind men were companions. They were buddies. They were both blind. They were both miserable. They were companions of misery, and they were also companions of the Lord's mercy. And they were partakers of the Lord's love, partakers of the Lord's grace, which is always sovereign love and sovereign grace and sovereign mercy. They were certainly in need of healing. They were blind and probably born that way, had never seen the light of day. They didn't know what light was. They had lived in the dark all their life. We too, that's our condition. We too are born blind. Not only blind, but dead spiritually in sin. That is, we have no spiritual sight to see His glory. We have no spiritual life to see our need of Christ, to believe on Him, and to know our need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, until He shows us and reveals unto us our need of Him. You'll never seek Him until He shows you your need of Him. The apostle writes about it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, "Having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Blinded in their understanding. Paul said again in that same epistle that at that time we were without God, without hope, and without Christ in this life. But now, God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, made us new creatures in Christ. We're now made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two blind men certainly followed the Lord as mercy beggars, didn't they? They followed the Lord as mercy beggars, saying, "Son of David, Messiah, you're the Messiah. We believe you to be the Messiah, the one promise of God. Have mercy. That's a good prayer, isn't it? You remember what the publican prayed in the temple? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I had a dear friend some years ago, an older friend. He said, I really don't know what to pray or how to pray or what to pray about. And I gave him this instruction. 7 words. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's my prayer, isn't it? That was their prayer. Have mercy. Have mercy on us. We come to the Lord as mercy beggars, don't we? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. These 2 blind men earnestly followed the Lord as mercy beggars, openly confessed that he was the son of David. They believed him to be the Messiah, and like blind Bartimaeus, they cried out, thou son of David. You remember the friends of Bartimaeus said, just hush, hush a minute. He doesn't have time for you. Just hush. And he cried the louder, thou son of David, have mercy. You remember what we read in Mark 10? And Jesus stood still. Stopped him. That cry of mercy stopped the Lord of glory in his tracks. That ought to encourage us to cry out for mercy, right? The Lord Jesus Christ indeed was made of the seed of David, declared to be the Son of God with power. He is both man and God in one person. One person. The Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Matthew 22, if you want to turn there, you can. But I've got a reference here in Matthew 22, verse 41. Matthew 22, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. They had asked him many questions, but he asked them, saying, this is Matthew 22, verse 42, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. Even those religious Jews knew that the Messiah would come through David's line. And he saith unto them, how then doth David, in the Spirit or by the Spirit, call him Lord? Saying, and this is from Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Well, that's a pretty good question. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. How can he be David's son and David's Lord? Because he is the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 28, and here's the Lord's searching question and their confession of their faith in him. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, saying, and Jesus saith unto them, rather, believe ye that I am able to show mercy? Able to do this? And they said unto him, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do you believe I'm able to do as the Lord promised? Do you believe? I'm asking you. Do you believe the Lord is able to do as he promised? Saving faith, the faith of God's elect, always says yes. 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 Yes and amen. Now don't turn now and read it, but on the back of the bulletin, there is an article that's written from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, about verse 19 or so, where it said, Paul said, our preaching was not yea and nay, but our preaching was yes. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, yes, unto the glory of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was fully persuaded that all that God had promised, he is able. Now here's the question, is the Lord able? Do we serve an able Savior, an able Redeemer, one who is able to save to the uttermost, or is he a frustrated Savior? Is he tied up and frustrated by creatures who act contrary to his will? No, he makes him willing in the day of his power. Saving faith is like Abraham's faith, giving God all the glory and being fully persuaded all that God promised he was able to perform. All that God has promised, not one word has failed. He performs all things. Now, that reminded me of a testimony by the man named Joshua. Joshua followed Moses all those years through the wilderness. And when they got ready to cross over the river Jordan into the promised land, God put Moses aside because he represented the law. And Joshua, whose name means Savior, led them into the promised land. But here's what Joshua said on his deathbed. It's recorded in Joshua 23, verse 14. He said, I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts, in all your soul, that not one thing failed of all the good things which the Lord spake concerning you. All are come to pass. Not one thing hath failed. God is able, my friend. He is not one who is frustrated, but one who does all his pleasure, all his will. He said, I've spoken it, I bring it to pass, I purposed it, I will do it. God has performed all things for us, and he's provided all things for us. Is the Lord Jesus Christ able to redeem us from all our sin? Do you have to think about that? No. Yes. Yes. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Is the Lord Jesus Christ able to pardon the wicked and ungodly sinners? Yes. Yes, he is. This is a faithful saying. We had this on the radio this morning. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came in this world to save sinners. And I'm the chief one. I'm the chief offender. Is Christ able to pardon? Yes. I love the prayer of Nehemiah. Thou art a God ready to pardon. Thou art a God ready to pardon. David said this in Psalm 85, verse 6. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all those that call upon him. A publican did, and God justified him. Is the Lord able to justify the guilty and make them righteous in Christ? Yes. Yes. Blessed is that man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Is the Lord able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of God's glory? Is he able? The book of Jude tells us that he's able to keep us from falling. He's able in all things to present us in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Well, that's good news, isn't it? That's a shadow of good things to come in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 29. And he touched their eyes. The Lord reached out and touched their eyes. The touch of power. Saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your confession. According to your faith, be it unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ honors faith because faith honors him. Faith is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. It was not according to their merit, or according to their works, or according to their obedience to the law, but according to their faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the strength of faith, now listen to me carefully, the strength of faith is not in faith. The strength of faith is in the object of our faith. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with him. Saving faith is always objective, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith never looks in here. All I see in here is doubt and ignorance and unbelief. I look unto him. Saving faith is always looking outside of self unto him. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All things are possible to those who believe. Remember the words of our Lord to that Roman soldier whose servant was sick? Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that selfsame hour. Matthew 8, verse 13. All things are possible to those who believe the gospel. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this word here that's given to us in verse 29, underscore this word here, according to your faith. I love that word, according. I keep promising myself I'm going to bring a message and entitle the message, according. According. So we know that this word, according, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. That's Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And then the other scripture I like to quote, or at least try to quote it, is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. So it's not according to this way of work, it's according to this way of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Now let me show you a couple of places where that word according is used. Turn to Romans chapter 8, first of all. Romans chapter 8. And we could turn to many, many other scriptures where that word is found, according. But Romans 8:28, you're familiar with this, but maybe you've never seen this word. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according, what? Oh, well, according to my goodness. According to what I've done or what I've merited. According to God's purpose. Purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's according to God's purpose. Now, another one here in Romans. Turn to Romans 9. Romans 9, look at verse 11. For the children, Romans 9, 11, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to something. According to what? Election. According to the purpose of God, according to the election, might stand. Let me read that verse again. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Salvation is according to God's mercy. Here's another one. Let's turn one page to Romans 11. Romans 11, look at verse 5. Romans 11. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more. So salvation is either according to our works or according to his grace. It cannot be both. It's either one or the other. It's either Cain or Abel. We know that salvation is by his purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. So, believe ye, look back to the text, believe ye that I'm able to do this? You think the Lord's able to save you? If he saved me, he saved you. Yes! Yes, Lord. Then, He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And the Lord straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the countries. Their eyes were opened. That is what the Lord does for sinners when he saves them. He commands the light to shine out of darkness. He shines in our heart that we might see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the old English preacher John Newton? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Now this sight of seeing Christ comes by a revelation of God, the sovereign revelation of God. And we can see that right here close by in Matthew 11. Turn there. Matthew 11. Look at verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. And it's a sovereign revelation. At that time, Matthew 11, 25, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Read on. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. One more verse, 27. Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me and my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Sovereign revelation. Another scripture, a couple pages over, look at Matthew 16. I'm saying the Lord must touch the eyes of our understanding, give us life and faith in Christ that we might see the glory of God in saving sinners through Christ. In Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, Elias, which is Elijah, and other Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But he said unto them, whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. You didn't figure this thing out on your own. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So salvation comes by, you know, I can educate you in doctrine, but I can't reveal Christ to your heart. Salvation comes by the revelation of God the Holy Spirit shining the light of the gospel in your heart to give you life, to show you the beauty and glory and your need of Christ and Christ alone. Now back to the story again. And I've taken all my time this morning. Their eyes were opened. And what did they see? They saw a sight of the Savior. Their eyes were open, and when God opens our eyes, opens our understanding, we see the beauty and glory of Christ. Their eyes are open, and he told them, you don't need to tell anybody about this. But they went, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad all his fame in all the country. It was a deed that didn't need to be told, because the deed itself, the miracle itself, told itself out. As they went out, verse 32, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees, what did they say? The Pharisees always condemned the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, he cast out devils through the prince of devils. Matter of fact, they called him a devil. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for the saying, and many of them said, this is in John 10, he hath a devil and is mad. Why do you hear him? The multitude marveled, the Pharisees condemned the Lord Jesus Christ. May God Almighty give us the spirit of understanding. May He enlighten our eyes that we can answer this question in our heart. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, salvation is of the Lord, and salvation is in Him. In Him.